The number one most powerful piece that you have for your business is your message. Think it clear. Spend some time. If you've got to go take a long weekend and literally like lock yourself in a cabin and like go over it and come out of the weekend with clear vision of exactly how you're going to present yourself, do it, because it is literally your entire growth engine is revolved around what you say and how you present it.
Hey, Tom, welcome to the Corporate Escapee Podcast.
Hey, Brad, really appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to be here.
No, I'm excited because, again, we talked offline. One of the biggest challenges that escapees and future escapees have is business development and growth. And I really, like when we connected, liked your approach to basically growth through relationships. And I think there is so much learning for our audience. So that's why I'm so appreciative of you taking some time and basically walking us through how we should be approaching this. But before we get to the really, really good stuff, I think it's important to give the audience just a little bit about your background, what you're working on today, and then we'll dive into it.
Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate that. So, Brett, I've been an entrepreneur pretty much my entire adult life. I've had six different businesses in multiple different industries and worked with a lot of different folks as clients, as well as, you know, different partnerships. So I got a decent amount of exposure in the small business space. And what I'm doing today with the company that I've had over the last 7 years is really working with small businesses, whether it's solo, micro, or small businesses, to develop a growth strategy that's really simple and easy to use. And I think that the biggest problem with a lot of folks in today's world is that there's just so much stuff thrown out there, it gets very confusing as what is important and what is not. And so what I watch people do all the time, and I'm a victim, even though this is what I do for a living, is getting caught in these traps where you're spending a lot of time and money doing things that really don't move the needle or aren't nearly as important as you think. So we have a company that like really focuses on leveraging relationships in a very intentional way so that you can just focus on what matters, get the clients that you want, but at the same time, you're building a very intentional and powerful network.
So good. And it's so true. And that's one thing that I learned after I escaped about 5 years ago. But even in the larger B2B world, right, that, you know, SEO and search are fine long-term strategies. But like I said, I'm convinced that partnerships, relationships, referrals is the quickest path to growth, but nobody ever really talks about that, right? It's not as fancy and as technical, but you know, am I wrong in that?
No, you're not wrong. And there's nothing right or wrong about any of the strategies. I mean, we look at the three-headed god of growth, right? The three-headed god of growth is going to be marketing, business development, and sales. So the question for anybody, whether your business is still in ideology, meaning that it's in startup phase, it hasn't even really kicked off, all the way to a very, very mature business, right, is you're always exploring where should I spend my time, money, and resources in each three of these buckets. And then the last question is, well, how do they sort of work together, right? Because if they can't work together, then like you're really going to have some wasted time, money, and resources as well. So let's look at each one of the buckets. Let's go marketing first. There's no right or wrong for marketing. Everybody needs marketing. You just got to define what that marketing is for you. So let's say you're a brand new startup, you are bootstrapped, and you're a service-based business. Your marketing may just be, well, what you tell other individuals when you meet them. You know what I mean? That may be your marketing, is the messaging behind like when you shake hands and give your business card or whatever you do nowadays. That could be the extent of your marketing. Whereas somebody else in a different business that's very much more mature than that, or has deeper pockets or a complicated business, well, their marketing strategy may be, you know, they may be imploring, I mean, who knows what, right? SEM, right? Like tons of Google ads, like who knows? So the first bucket is, what is my marketing? what matters, what can I afford, what can I leverage, right? Business development is the human to human piece. Business development is like marketing, where you're trying to get attention and bring leads into your business. It's not sales. It's a lead generation strategy. It just so happens that we call leads in business development world, we call them connections, introductions, and referrals, right? So marketing generates leads. You know what I mean? Business yeah. development develops connections, introductions, and referrals. The last envelope that we need to open here is the sales and go, what is my process? What do I do in the whole sales process? How do I make it streamlined so that I can have people that are interested in my products and services quickly convert to clients? And if they aren't clients, what do we do to recycle them back into the marketing and business development so that nothing goes undone? In other words, you don't waste time with a connection, introduction, and referral just because they're not interested in your services. They have to be recycled back into your network in a way that brings about more positivity or more growth, more productivity in not only your world, but theirs and the people that you introduce them to. Marketing, same concept.
Makes perfect sense. And I think too, when we talk solos, right, there's the three-headed monster, but it's, in our case, probably one-headed, right? It's got to be all tied together in the sense of where are you going to spend your time on those three pieces. No, I like, I mean, again, I've always thought about, you know, sales and marketing, it's bigger companies, it's siloed, which is still so dumb, right? I mean, it's got to be aligned and one approach to customers. You can spend an entire episode going with the bigger companies. Back to the solos. Yeah, I bet you most of us hadn't defined, right, either those activities or how we were thinking about. Maybe we think about content, right, or what are we doing on LinkedIn. I love the business development. I think that's where, I don't want to guess, but you're going to tell us that's where the majority of our time should be spent is the business development and the human to human and the contact. And would you say sales is, because again, from people that have been in corporate for 25 years, sales is a four-letter word and literally is. But in this case, it's, you know, I don't know how to sell. I don't want these things. And it's really just, right, asking for the business and more closing. Maybe how would you define that three-headed monster for solos?
Yeah, solopreneurs are going to look like this. At first, most solopreneurs are not going to have the bankroll to take a lot of risks in like actual marketing strategies. So the marketing bucket looks like this, messaging, right? Like, and I'll be a little bit more clear. It's actually what we call as a fictitious person called Sam, right? It's your solution, audience, and message. Here's what I mean by all three. If Sam's healthy, you will have a healthy growth engine. If Sam has a problem with his head, body, or legs, you will have a problematic growth engine, right? So let's look at the solution. Just because you know what your core competency is, your solution, doesn't mean that it's bundled properly for the next part of Sam, which is your audience. That's the A. So you got to understand who your target audience is and continue to re-engineer and repackage your solution so that it really clicks with the audience that you're trying to resonate with. And that may take some iterations for a lot of folks, right? But trying to get those to align is fantastic. But then we go to the best sword that you'll ever have in the fight to get your company to grow. For solopreneurs, message is king. You must have a message that is, and I'm going to bring this down to four C's for your message. It must be clear, concise, compelling, and consistent. I'll go through all four. Clear. Do not use words that people do not understand. Use basic everyday language. That's what people want to hear. You start to get too cute with your language, people will literally disassociate with your entire message completely. The next one is concise. That is what I call the shut up rule, right? Say it and then shut up. People that have confidence issues or have problems with their message say too much. The people that have really, it's really well rehearsed, know what they can offer, say it confidently, and then wait for the follow-up, right? So we got clear, we got concise, and then the hardest C is compelling. This is where you have to start to actually make yourself and the person just a bit uncomfortable. Not sensational needs to be compelling. Compelling means it must provoke more questions. It must elicit some type of emotion. Sensationalism is just saying things just to get attention, and I do not agree with that ever. The last piece is going to be the consistency. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you maybe give me an example of what you mean by compelling? Because I think it would be helpful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Compelling piece, again, is the hardest piece. But so you're going to have to say things in a way, your message in a way, that makes you sort of like shift in your seat a little bit, right? Or like sort of like scratch the back of your neck, right? Focus on somebody that you'll see like their head turn and that they're actually thinking about what you just said. But most people's message is too vanilla. They use safe language. They don't elicit emotion, and therefore nothing happens. When you meet with somebody through a connection, introduction, and referral, right, it doesn't mean that you have to force your stuff on them, right? But you do have to say your message so clear, concise, and compelling that if they actually do need your services, they will ask. There's a difference. It's not a forceful sale. It's a clear, concise, and compelling message. So compelling, right, Brett, would be like the difference of saying something like this. We'll use your hat as an example, right? Look, Tom, tell me a little bit about what you do. I appreciate that, Brett, right? We've got a company that sells hats. We've got all kinds of varieties of hats. So if you're interested in hats, come please check out our hat company, right? Not that compelling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A compelling difference would be this. Look, there's a ton of different hat companies out there. We actually took a stance with our hat company, right, to create these unique hats that nobody else has. In fact, we make fringes on all the hats that nobody has in the exact same spot and numbers them underneath that is custom to every single person that we send it to. So if customization is having something that's unique where you can wear on your head whenever you want, start new conversations and know that no one else in the world is like you, our company is probably the one that you want to look at, right? Completely compelling. And now somebody sort of shifts in their chair and goes, I know hat companies. I don't know your company, right?
Yeah.
Very different.
What I like about that too is, and again, back to that uncomfortable piece is when people are just getting started doing this, it's okay to filter out, right, your non-buyer. So in this case, you're looking for those folks that like the different, right, that have the custom piece to it. And so if they're not, again, you don't want, it'll save you time the more clear, right, the old riches in the niches. But I don't think we ever articulate that very well, right? So who within this space you're going after, where that's important to them, it's going to resonate when you have that conversation, right? So I just think that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there's very few people, Brett, that have created products or services that are good for like the general public, that work really, really well for the general public. So like you as a solopreneur just have to say this. I'm not saying that I am never going to work with anyone else, like outside of the target audience that I've defined. And this is, by the way, different than niching down. These are two different subjects. They're parallel, but like they're not the same. What I'm saying is this, you must define who the target audience is out there that you can best serve and is also very accessible, right? Meaning that like as a solopreneur, you're not going to have a big budget, nor do you have a ton of time and everything else. You don't have luxury of having long sales cycles or that you have to meet 552 people before you get a yes. Like you need a business that's simple and an accessible audience that understands what you're offering, really needs what you're offering and respects and values it. Now, you just have to make that choice in the beginning and tell other people very confidently why you made that choice and why it's the best fit. As your company starts to evolve, you may start to evolve with it, right? Start to add more people to it. But in the beginning, it's always a mistake to try to please everyone. Focus on what you do best, because all you need is a couple really good thumbs up, some good case studies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the rest is history. But if you keep failing in the beginning and struggling, and you can't really get like good referrals or references or like build case studies, you're gonna have problems, really have big problems.
So maybe just to give you one more example, because I do think this is an important part that we struggle with is, you know, I talked to a new member yesterday and she spent, you know, 20 plus years in the corporate world working with businesses and partnerships, right, for their growth engine, using partners as a growth engine. And one of the things we talked about was if she's going to do some outreach, right, it's as simple as, man, do you use growth and or do you use partnerships as one of your growth strategies, yes or no, right? And if they say yes, then you're like, oh, that's great. How's that working for you? And if it's no, why not, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think that fits into your compelling, right, where you're asking, somebody's not just asking about growth or just not asking about your business, but it's a very specific piece. Are you using this, yes or no? So would that fit kind of in your example?
It does. And even more intentional than that, Brett, and I'm glad that you brought that up, more intentional than that is that like there's a big umbrella of partnerships. You know what I mean? Like that person that you're referring to, you have to ask this question, right? Like, what do you know best? What can you say? Like, if I met this person and they leverage partnerships, like I'm sure I can help them out. Because of the industry or the types of partnerships, whatever that is definition, but taking the time to define it and going, for now, right, these people are my people. I can help them. Don't say yes to opportunities that you stand a big chance of failing, despite what some of the thought leaders will tell you of like, just say yes to it and figure it out. That's not a very good strategy. Like failure will crush your business. It's okay to fail and learn. You know what I mean? But don't fail intentionally in the beginning when you don't have to. Make smart decisions and at least reduce or mitigate your failure as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, so good. All right, so duly noted on that, because I think that's, you know, to clarify, that was important for this audience. So I appreciate you spending a little more time. All right, so I cut you off before consistent.
No worries. So consistency is the last piece, right? Consistency means this for most solopreneurs, right? Despite the fact that they'll get most of their business through connections, introductions, and referrals, right? Somebody's still going to check out your stuff before meeting you, and that could be before, during, or after they meet you. What do I mean by your stuff? Well, depending on what business that you're in, right? Is it your LinkedIn profile and your website, right? Is it that they went to like your Instagram? Like, I don't know what it is, right? But they're going to go to your stuff. And if it's out there, you must be consistent. What do I mean by consistent? The exact same language, the exact same colors, the exact same everything, so that you can build that trust with anybody that you're meeting, right? If there's inconsistency in your messaging, they start to lose faith and start to lose trust in who you are as a professional, right?
Yeah, makes
so
sense.
Like, people ask me this all the time for solopreneurs, right, Brett? Like, should I have a website? I don't know. Let me figure it out. Like, let's talk about it for a second. But what I would say is this, if you are having a website and it is out there, at least make sure it's consistent, right? Like, at least do that, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's not consistent, take it down. It's doing more harm than good. Social media, same thing. You know, we see this all the time too, Brett, on social media, where people don't understand what their message is, their core message, right? And what they'll see is like random posts about things that, yeah, it's like in their space, but they're randomly posting about different topics and then they think that they're going to get something out of it. But if you're going to like actually brand your services as a solopreneur on, let's say, a social media platform, you're literally saying the same message over and over and over again, just in slightly different ways. So like, take for instance, myself, right? All of you, like my message is all of your clients are coming from connections, introductions, and referrals, right? All I'm saying is like, I'll do a post that say, look, Research says 92% of all small businesses get most of their clients or get all of their clients through connections, introductions, and referrals. So I use this statistic. You know what I mean? The next time I'll say something like, in the beginning, I was stretched thin in my business of doing A, B, and C, only to find out that all of my clients came from, ta-da, connections, introductions, and referrals. You know what I mean? I'm just recycling the message and saying it over and over again. Consistency.
And in clarity, right? I think that was back to you, is the number one destroyer of trust. And because if it's complicated or inconsistent, again, keep it simple. To your point, your message is crystal clear. Anybody's looking for it, they're going to know exactly what it is. And I think, again, the tendency and what I'll blame corporate is teach you to throw all the features and benefits and all the services that you have. And again, one of the things I found is these business owners tend to care more about the problem than the services and things. So the more you talk about and how you talk about it in all your content, it just, again, it makes sense. And it seems like it's redundant, but that's the point, because so few people actually see a piece of your content anyway, that you just, again, I think it's worth repeating how important that consistency is in doing this.
Yes. And like, look, I keep going back to me, but you do the same thing and everybody should do the same thing as a solopreneur. What you really want to dumb it down to, if you're going to do like social media or something like that, is you want people to like literally think of you this way. Oh, Tom, the connection, introduction, referral guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want to get it down to, because people don't have the capacity beyond that, right? Like, we're just such a small sliver in everybody's life that we're nowhere near as important as we think we are. And it's not as impactful as you think it is. So you have to dumb it down to its like its simplest element if you want to get any traction as a solopreneur. Now, it's different if you're Nike, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or Under Armour or something like that. But as a solopreneur, scapee, you know what I mean? Hanging their own shingle and doing their own thing. Consistency is so important in any of those strategies.
Yeah. And it took me a while to figure that out with the escapee, right? I mean, my message is simple. I work with Gen Xers to help them get out of corporate and take control of their life. Everything else is some combination of that mission as we do it. And there may be specifics, but it all filters back into that same messaging. You know, there's times I'm tempted to expand that to, you know, into the small business world. And I haven't been, I haven't posted a ton of content on that because I want to make sure it's consistent with what I'm saying. So if I do something with the small business world, it's going to play off of, hey, how do I take all this escapee expertise, right, which we've been talking about escaping, and then help small businesses with that expertise. So unintentionally, kind of following your advice, and it's worked once I was able to get consistent with that. I mean, again, just reinforces what your message was, but I did see the traction and the engagement goes up once you get more consistent with it.
Well, and I love your brand, right, Brett? I mean, the escapee brand looks like this. There's two forms of escapees for me. Like when I look at your brand, I go, there's the escapee that is escaping from corporate life and getting into entrepreneurial life. One escapee, right? The second escapee is this. How do I start escaping the business that I built so that I can actually get another life? There's two escapes there. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it's vital, right? I mean, it just depends on where you are in the process of that whole ordeal, but that's what happens. That's the whole cycle, right? I want to get out of jail. You know what I mean? From the corporate life. Well, let me get out of there and do my own thing. Now that I have my own thing, I'm also seeing that I'm not in jail anymore, but I'm still stuck to this business. You know what I mean? Which is better than jail. You know what I mean? But the next freedom piece is going, well, how do I build this business so that like I really have tons of time, flexibility, you know, do whatever I want.
Yeah. It's so interesting you said that. Again, the last month or so started to dig deeper into kind of what is that messaging. And because when I started, it was really about replacing the income, right? And what I've realized is it's still foundational,
right?
You need to replace the income for some level at what makes sense for your life and what you're trying to build. But then it opens up everything else, right? Which is a new world.
So
I'm staying consistent. Say, hey, first step is maybe uncomfortable. You may be doing some things you don't want to do in order to replace that income that you need, but it unlocks everything else, right? So I think just, you know, as you using your framework, mine's just, I've gotten smarter. I'm starting to learn more. I can expand and then build out on those four buckets as it gets clearer to me, you know, who my target audience is and what's important to them as I go through it. So, but I don't think you, like I said, I love this framework for folks just starting out, and it may change, right? Test it. The messaging doesn't work, or it gets lost and it's clouded with 400 other people doing the same thing, which would be rare. It knows it's a signal that, you know, to tweak and experiment with something else.
And Brett, I'll add to this, right, for your A-B testing, right? The only way you can A-B test is you have to strategically deliver a message. So in other words, like, you can't A-B test something that you're constantly like changing every conversation. You actually have to write out your message strategically, deliver the message, and then take note on it of how it landed. You know what I mean? But if your message keeps changing every single time, you get no feedback that's useful. So make sure that you try an A-B test, and it's very important to constantly play King of the Hill and find which one is best. But you can't do that unless you actually deliver a clear, concise, and compelling message that you at least think is going to work. And then you literally just get a handful of folks to like try it on, get the feedback, see what happens, and then you can tweak it, right?
Right.
The last thing that I'll bring up, and this is a huge help to me and so many other people out there, and that is, I hate to use a sports analogy, but if you're a golf person, right, deliver your message like you're playing 18 holes of golf, right? And not at a driving range. Here's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Your message should say this. Say something, shut up, right? Like, say it, then wait for them to like ask more questions. Just like if you're in a golf cart, right? You can chit chat all you want back and forth. But when it's time to get up to the tee, everybody just needs to quiet down so that you can hit your shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're going to get back into the cart. Right? When you deliver your message, do the same thing. Hey, Brett, tell me a little bit about what you do. You say a very clear, concise, and compelling statement right there. But then you just stop. And you just wait for me to like ask something else in return, right? Or maybe we're just okay with just a slight bit of discomfort, you know what I mean, in just that little period. Then you can go to the next one, right? You can state something afterwards that says something like this. And by the way, most people that I work with are A, B, and C. Then stop. Just give the other person a chance to absorb it. Ask other questions, right?
Yeah.
How does that work? You know what I mean? Let me tell you how it works, but I'm not going to go into a 45-minute soliloquy. I'm going to literally tell you how it works as a general statement, right? If you're interested in learning more, you'll ask more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So don't worry about trying to solve all problems with your message. Think, how can I say something that will provoke more question and answer? And then your A-B test works like this. Some people A-B test and literally say they signed up as a client or they didn't. So it worked or it didn't work. That's not a good way to A-B test.
Right.
A good way to A-B test is you said your message and did they inquire or ask more questions? Did they sit forward? Were they paying attention to me, right? If that's the case, you're on the right track. If you say whatever that message is going to be and literally crickets, there's nothing there. No interest, no follow-up questions, no nothing. Your message is off. You got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, so good. And it's so true. And again, unintentionally, probably would have been helpful to have your framework before. I've gotten better at doing those pauses.
Right.
Where people, what is the escapee? How'd you get started? It used to be me just doing a 3-minute, how quickly can I get through it? Mm. Now I've figured out how to chunk it a little bit, right? And judge the reaction if they've got questions already or if it makes sense. In some cases, they don't care, right? So another 2 minutes is just wasting time. In the sense that it didn't land right the way I thought it would. And so, yeah, again, trial by error and figure things out. But I think that makes sense, not just spit everything out and then wait, but be patient. Easier said than done, but it does work if you can do it.
100%. The good part is this has like, this is all codified, right, Brett? I mean, the good thing is you don't have to memorize 8 million things for a discovery call. In other words, a meeting or a call that you're going to take with somebody for the first time, there's only 6 things on planet Earth they will ask you, right? This is all you just need to prepare for, right? 6 things on planet Earth, right? And this is your living. So like, as long as you can memorize 6 things as an answer, then you're good with any discovery call. Here are the 6. What you do. You know what I mean? Tell me what you do. You know, that's the first one. The second one is who? Who do you do it for? You know what I mean? Who do you serve? Who does this work best for? The third one is tell me how that works. How does it work? The fourth one is why you instead of nothing or instead of something else? Why? Why you? The fifth one is how much is this going to cost? Right? And the sixth one would be, what are the next steps? What do we have to do after this? Outside of that, there is Zippo that somebody will ask. All of your answers will be able to tackle literally 99% to 100% of every single discovery call that you have. So if you actually put on a sheet of paper all 6 things and say, how do I answer that in a clear, concise, and compelling way? And start to script it out and then practice for yourself, then you can start entering discovery calls with actually a lot more confidence and joy. Why? Because you're prepared. You already know what you're going to say and you can relax and then actually enjoy it instead of being like tense and trying to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, no, this is good. I like this. I had a simpler version of this, but I think this makes sense. And I think they're all important, but I think intuitively folks would pick up like 1, 2, or 3, right? Tell me. But I think 4 is the key one, right? Because this is where it's different. This is, it's why you, right? And if you've been 25 years in corporate, you've been doing this on the biggest stages with the biggest battles. And I just don't think people spend enough time on that number 4, because I think this ties back up into your, you know, the 4 C's, right? So this is the theme that if you can get this right and it resonates with your target audience, right, your business is going to grow quicker than trying to really fight hard, right? I mean, it's just, you're taking friction out of the process if you can do this effectively.
You really are. And I'll go through this if it's okay with you on each one for the importance.
Yeah.
Hopefully it really helps the audience. So the first one, the what, is the most important answer. Why? Because, well, we've done studies on it, right? Like 96% of the first questions asked on a discovery call is, so tell me a little bit about what you do, right? So it's going to be your first and foremost. So if you screw that up, the problem is the rest of the conversation probably has no legs. You have to have a good what answer. If you do not have a clear, concise, and compelling what answer, there's really nothing else left, right? So you got to nail that one. The who, this is what I call my desperation answer. If you say something like, well, anybody could be a client of mine, what it shows is that you're lazy or dumb. You know what I mean? So like when you say something like, I can, it doesn't mean that you have to actually pigeonhole yourself. You can mention something like, I can work with a lot of different sizes and types of companies, right? But, right, my best companies, right, one that I want to tell you is like great stories about include this space. You know what I mean? Right. So that's the desperation answer. The how answer, you're going to have to nail that one. And here's the big one for your audience, Brett. People aren't paying other folks for access to their brain. There are a lot of smart individuals out there. So stop thinking that you're just going to sell your services based on how smart you are or your pedigree from your corporate job. It's not going to work. They're going to pay you for codification, which comes in convenience to the person that says yes to your contract. I'll say it in a different way. They could probably figure out how to do what you do. They're not going to do that because you've already spent so much time and effort in doing it right. So when you say how it works, it must be check out my steps. Here's my process. This is my blueprint. Here's my roadmap. This is my journey. You know what I mean?
Because they're
going to pay you for the codification, not just like your random intelligence, right? So after you get down through that, you nailed the why. That's your differentiator or distinguishing factor. You got to be able to set yourself apart from everybody else. Not so unique that nobody else on planet Earth can do it, but you need to set yourself apart and let them understand why you instead of somebody else, right?
Can we talk about drilling a little bit? Because you mentioned something earlier that I've flagged, and people, especially as a solo business, a lot of the time you're not competing against other vendors or other yous, you're competing against do nothing. And you
That's kind of
reference that up front, right? That why is this better than not doing anything? And I can tell you, mm-hmm. I struggled with that early on, right? I mean, well, it's silly why when doing nothing is mm-hmm. going to cost you money. But unless you're prepared for that question, or knowing that the business owner is probably already leaning down that path anyway, there's a lot of deals lost because you don't address or think about the do nothing approach, right? So it's easier if you, for sure, they've got budget on spending it on one person. Yep, it's a race. But when you have to convince somebody you're a better alternative than not doing anything, that's a different problem, right?
It's a totally different problem. And Brett, this is why it's so important to like do your due diligence and get your messaging down ahead of time. And remember we went through SAM, right? Solution,
right.
Audience, and message. But you really can't understand how to answer the question of like, why you instead of do nothing? You know what I mean? Unless you understand your audience, because that's going to differ, like depending on who you're talking to audience-wise. But you can start really doing and seeing trends if you start defining your target audience. It's repeatable things that happen over and over and over again. And when you answer something in a clear, concise, and compelling way, it's got to resonate. Otherwise, right, it's not going to be compelling. You can make it clear and concise, but it won't be compelling if you're not using the language that the other person needs to hear.
I'm on board. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So we left off on like the why piece, right? We just went over that. The last two pieces, the cost. People stumble on this all the time. Like, how much is this going to cost me, right? And a lot of solopreneurs, they get crushed because they haven't really thought through their pricing strategies that much. But my recommendation to all solopreneurs is make sure that you have pricing strategies that accomplish three different things. One, for somebody that needs you but can't afford you at your normal rates. So you have to start them low and start to build as we go. That's like literally saying, I want you to start at X dollars a month or something like that, right? And then as we hit these milestones, we're going to like raise the price up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The second thing that you need to do is you need to have these people that have plenty of money, right? They're not worried about like the money piece, but they are sincerely like strapped for time. And that is, how do I structure it in a way that I'm going to get paid because I need to do more handholding with this client? It's going to cost me, the solopreneur, more time. Have that package ready. And then your third one is your standard package, the one that you really want to sell. It's a good balance of the amount of time, money, and effort that you've got to put into the client and that you're getting paid the money that you want to support the margins necessary to hit your goals.
Yeah, makes sense. So maybe I'll bounce how I've explained it to folks and you can critique it for me. And maybe I'll take the approach because what I have learned over, especially well before the escapee, when I was still doing the consulting and the fractional, it took me a while, but after I went through the process, there's like, well, how much does this cost? I said, well, I think, one, I definitely believe I can help you, right? I can solve your problem. And there's a couple different ways that I can do this. You know, give me 12 hours. Let me document it for you. I'll send it back. And the way I kind of look at that is kind of similar to what you had said, right? There's the low touch, right? Hey, you know, you and I can work together a couple hours a month. I can be your sounding board. We can start to walk through it. On the far end of the side is, you really need help, I can come in and take this over for you. Bring me on fractionally or whatever those sentiment. And then the middle is, hey, a little bit more, right? We'll do the strategy, but I'll help you set up and drive the roadmap or whatever it is. And historically, I found they go to that middle one, right? They don't want to go too far. They know they need a little more help than just the advisory. But even if you get the low end one, it's not a ton of hours for you, but it's good money, right? That you can start stacking some of those smaller deals. So
part of this, Brett, is this, like in the beginning, I did just the low touch approach. In other words, like if you can't afford me now, it's okay. Like I have a more affordable offer. It's just, it's going to take longer because we won't be meeting like as frequently or whatever it may be.
Right.
But I've actually adapted over time to a new model where I'm going to start you at something that is comfortable and responsible financially for you, right? But it's not comfortable and financially responsible for me. I'm still going to give you, right, like my undivided attention, you know what I mean? And I want to help you grow. But what I'm going to say is this, once I can justify paying more, like we have an agreement that you say, we are going to increase that price. So it's an acknowledgement, and that gives a green light for both people to have skin in the game and say, let's go ahead and give this an all out approach. The problem with just saying like, I'm going to give you less for less is sometimes it works out. But a lot of times what I've found, Brett, is this, they don't get the results because of it. And then blame you, which damages your brand. You end up losing clients for lesser money in the first place, and it really doesn't work out. But when you do a progressive or a performance contract that starts lower but allows both parties to benefit, works really well.
That makes a ton of sense. And it kind of ties back to what I preach a lot is this, you know, unlike corporate, some other people think, well, it's contract work. I'm like, well, no, the idea that you're taking this is more of a partnership with these businesses and not a transaction, right? You don't want to think of this as a transaction. So your approach actually makes total sense and say, hey, I'm giving up a little bit just to prove that one, I can deliver the value, and two, right, it gives you an out if you don't see them seeing the value, you're not going to continue to waste time, but it builds the on-ramp to a longer engagement. So no, I like that.
Yeah. And then the last thing, Brett, that we had was, so that we did the all the way down, except for the last one, which was the steps, right? And the steps come down to this, and I know this seems really simple, but you really need to think this through. When somebody says something like, look, I think I'm interested here. Like, what are the next steps? You'd be surprised at how many people don't know what to say. You know what I mean? You got to think it through. Like, it's got to be like, I really appreciate that interest. Look, the steps are really simple. We're going to set up another meeting for next week. We're going to go over the scope so that you and I see eye to eye. We'll go through some pricing options that may work. Right. I'll send over an agreement with a few options that could make sense. If you find something that works, send it on over. We'll onboard you and get started tomorrow. Right. But if you don't have that rehearsed, it comes out of like, well, you know, like what would you like to do? Do you want to go like next? You want to meet again next week and talk about this a little bit more? Or I'm going to send you over a proposal. A proposal on what? You don't even know what you're sending yet. You know what I mean? Right. So like the steps thing is really important of what I call bridging. You must make it clear on how you're going to bridge into the next step.
Yes. And it ties back to your earlier theme of the consistency, right? Because if you fumble with the steps, then that plants the seeds of doubt that maybe you haven't done this before or done enough of it. And just again, clarity and consistency, I think, is the theme you're definitely preaching, but I think it ties into to this part especially, right?
Of course. Yeah. You know, the end thing, Brett, that I would want like anybody to walk away with is just this, right? Like, it's not as complex as you think, right? Like, people are only going to ask you 6 questions, right? So like, it's not like trying to memorize a million things, but I cannot say this enough. If you are a corporate escapee, starting your own business, thinking about owning your own business or whatever, right? You're already in business. the number one most powerful piece that you have for your business is your message. Think it clear. Spend some time. If you've got to go take a long weekend and literally like lock yourself into a cabin and like go over it and come out of the weekend with clear vision of exactly how you're going to present yourself, do it. Because it is literally your entire growth engine is revolved around what you say and how you present it.
So true. And again, if I should have met you before I escaped or right after I escaped, you would have saved me a ton of time because trial and error does work. But man, this is the whole point of this podcast and what we're doing with the escapee is how to save you the learning curves, or at least shorten the learning curves that we've learned from, right, the previous mistakes. And if there's frameworks and tools that make sense, to me, this is 100% a no-brainer, right, as you think as foundationally to do this. And obviously, you tweak and grow, and you can get more sophisticated. But as you're looking to get started, I would definitely highly recommend, you know, following exactly what you just outlined, because you're going to be light years ahead than the person that's not.
Yeah. And you know, for anybody that's starting their own business, depending on like what spot you're in financially, some people have like $0 and they literally need this to work tomorrow. And other people have built up bank accounts that they have a little bit of runway. But no matter what, everybody that I talk to is going to run out of money at some point, right? Like, so like you don't have as much time to waste as you think. What you need to do is get in front of people as fast as humanly possible and start A/B testing your message as quick as you can and make sure that that is, I mean, just tested, proven. So at least you have that. Then it just comes down to getting in front of enough people to close deals so that you can get some money through the doors and the business is okay. But if your message is off, not only is it extremely stressful, but it's almost like impossible to get a client because you can get in front of as many people as you possibly want on planet Earth. But if your message is terrible, nobody is going to take you up on your offer unless you do like something like give it away for free or, you know what I mean? Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I know we're running tight on time and maybe we do a second part of this if there's, because I think we've touched on it. You got to get this part right. But then you kind of touched on the next part that escapees struggle with is how do I get in front of the right people, right? Who in part of, I think, where you go deeper in that area. So like I said, maybe we break this into two. And if you're up for it, maybe we have you come back for a part two and we go deeper into how do I get in front of the right people? Unless you can tell me that's a 5-minute session that we can dive in.
It would be a full discussion. I'd be more than welcome to come back and I appreciate the invite. So we can certainly do that. There's also the prequel to it as well. And that is, you got to get your model, your business model down pat. I unfortunately see so many solopreneurs try to work their tail off for selling these clients, but based on how they're delivering the solution, they'll never create something that's successful, or even if it is quote unquote successful, it will be something that they will absolutely hate. It will be a business that owns them. So your modeling before you just get out there and start selling stuff really needs to be crystal.
And again, there's no reason you can't change it over time if you realize that's not what you like. I mean, I'm a living example of that.
I think the beauty of being a solo, you know,
exactly.
Yeah,
there's no laws or rules that you can't change. I wouldn't recommend doing it just willy nilly and, you know, get flavor of the week because you're not going to get the traction. You know, again, my journey is a perfect example of what you're talking about, from solo consulting to fractional. And I figured out how to monetize, you know, multiple different business models, ultimately led me down a path to the escapee that wasn't even on the radar 2 years ago. Sure. Now this is full time. So I think, I'm going to take you up, or I put you on the spot, but we'll get you to come back for part two, because I think this is such an important piece. And if you can get these two foundational areas right, it's going to give you the best chance, not only of success, because I think people can figure it out, but minimize that path to where you're trying to get to, right? Because at the end of the day, there's no need to make all the mistakes we've all made and learn from others.
That's
one of the models.
Yep, absolutely.
So awesome. All right. Well, Tom, thank you for the time on part one here. And I mean, we've professionally teased it, so I will make sure we get you on as soon as your schedule allows to do the part two. But in the meantime, everybody can work on this aspect. And if you're not clear and concise with all this, you got some homework. And second, if people do want to connect with you, which I would highly encourage, at least get in front of your contact, what's the best way for folks to connect with you?
Yeah, two best ways. You can email me at tfriedman@defiantenterprises.com, and I'm sure Brett will send that out.
Yep.
As well as you can also go to LinkedIn, go to my profile there, and you can DM me there at any time.
Awesome. Awesome. Tom, this is highly, you know, I don't say that lightly because I try to learn something from every guest, but you've helped me think through some of the things I need to go refocus on as well, just because it fundamentally makes sense.
Well, Brett, this has been an absolute pleasure and an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to part two. And again, if anything I can do your way, you know, I'm always here for you.
Appreciate that. We'll get you back on soon. For now, but though, have a great rest of your day and we'll catch up with you in the not too distant future.
Likewise.